And if you would, join me in your Bibles to 3 John. And gentlemen, if you would hold the text for just a moment. Our sermon today is a bit more practical, if you will, in nature. Certain do's in our conduct, being the church. Also addressing an issue that is sadly pervading many churches. Today there's a portion of the Christian church that is plagued with a horrible, horrible disease. This disease has many names. Some refer to it as the word of faith gospel. The name it and claim it gospel. Health and wealth gospel is one you will hear often. However, it is probably best known by the umbrella title, summation, just simply calling it prosperity gospel. This movement promotes that Christians can experience good health and increased wealth if only they exercise a great, great level of faith. Hence one of the titles, the Word of Faith Gospel. And this is a faith so profound that it's rewarded in this life by prosperity, either in material or health, family, etc. There was a minister who once told my dad years ago who my dad had been injured and was sick since he was 36 years old. He died when he was 84. But there was a minister came to pray with him, and he told my dad, he said, "Jim, the reason you've been sick for so long is because you have a very, very weak faith." I'm glad I was not in the room. As I said, this is a disease within the Christian ranks, and it has claimed too many victims. One very popular minister of this movement, I'll call it, begins his messages with a phrase repeated by the congregation. And it goes like this: "This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God, and I boldly confess my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, I will never be the same in Jesus' name." As I said, they repeat that mantra often. In essence, this is a typical prosperity type message. Now, the problem with the statement is not so much with what it says in its literal fashion, because we are what the Bible says. That's one of the reasons of holy text, is we learn who God is, and we also learn who we are. So that in and of itself is not improper or incorrect. But its focus is entirely on what the person is, what the person has, what the person can do in and of themselves. And its implied meaning is that God has promised wealth and material to be in this life, you be successful in this life, if your faith warrants it. God does not want you to be poor and needy. Now, only briefly mentioned somewhere in this 45-50 minute monologue, God and his provisions are mentioned. The Christian's dependence on God may be mentioned in passing. The need of the work of Christ may be offered. And this is typically, as I said, interspersed, but many times at the end, after this 45-50 minute of "you can be all things" message. And so this statement is repeated often. We have a statement that we profess often. We did today. It's called the Apostles' Creed. Note the difference in the two statements. The Apostles' Creed barely mentions me at all. It's all about God. Now, to the point of John's writing and segueing in from what I've given you here, this gentleman's, this movement's statements, this I have, I am statement, gains support based on an improper reading of 3 John verse 2. If you have your Bibles, gentlemen, go ahead and put it up because I'm going to be reading it in a moment. If you see verse 2, John is writing, and I'll explain this more in more detail. John says, "Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes with your soul, goes well with your soul." Now, if we were to take that verse out by itself, then it's easy to see how an error of interpretation could possibly be made. Because here John is praying for his friend Gaius. I'll introduce him more to you in a moment. But Gaius, and he's praying that all goes well with him. And all goes well with his health. And so as I said, if I took that out and stopped right there, then I could preach a health and wealth gospel very easily. But that would be pulling that, wrenching that totally out of context. In our text today, I'm going to introduce you to three men, but I'm going to introduce you to one man by the name of Diotrephes, who has lived by this error of self-centeredness, me-ism, and sadly, Diotrephes has influence in the church of which he finds himself. Now, if you would, let us hear the infallible, inerrant word of the living God, the book of 3 John. "The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God, for they have gone out for the sake of the name," Jesus, of course, "accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense about us, and not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers, and also stops those who want to, and puts them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does evil has not seen God. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. We also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. I had much to write to you, but I'd rather not write with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends, each by name." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his most holy word. Our text today is a personal letter written to Gaius. John's previous two letters that we've covered over the last several weeks and months were letters written to the general church to be read at different churches. This is a very personal letter written to Gaius, probably delivered to him by hand, to him personally. We believe Gaius to be an elder in this church, one of prominent position here. We believe the church may even be Corinth, the church in Corinth, because we read of Paul baptizing Gaius in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So Gaius is in the church in Corinth, and so we just logically assume this is where Gaius still is in the church in Corinth. And John is commending Gaius for his work and for those in the church who are walking in the truth. John is greatly pleased with Gaius. And the church that have received and cared for the traveling Christians who passed through the area. If you recall, two weeks ago now, we spoke about the traveling pastors and missionaries who were spreading lies about Jesus Christ. They were bringing about a false teaching. Well, here, Gaius is being encouraged to take care of these traveling ministers who have found to be well-received, well-spoken, doctrinally good. And so you have individuals, remember, house churches are blooming now in this time. And so men and women were traveling from city, town to town, province to province, area to area, building new churches. And when they went into the communities, there was not a Motel 6. So they were staying with families in the area. So John is basically saying to Gaius, thank you. Thank you for taking care of the brothers when they came through your area. But John also hears of the issues with Diotrephes and his selfishness, who did not receive the travelers, and John plans to address this issue when he comes to the church. Basically, this is a prayer of sorts. He's praying for Gaius. He's praying for his good health. He's praying for him to prosper to the same degree his soul was prospering. Now, again, as I said, we get in trouble when we take verse 2 out and try to deal with it by ourselves. But when we leave it in context, listen to the full context. Again, let's read verses 2 through 4 to get the full context. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. For I rejoice greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. You see very clearly, if you take this full text, that John is praying for him to continue to mature in his soul, in his faith, walking in the truth. Nothing about material goods. Now, we do pray he's well cared for. We do pray that his health is good, but that's not John's point. As I said, John is giving testimony to his thankfulness that Gaius is walking in the truth. And when the visitors come and visit with him, they see him walking, doing, working in the truth of the gospel. Again, he says, I have no greater joy than to hear my children walking in the truth. So here, as we take this apart, John gives us three points, mentions three things that mark a prosperous and healthy soul. And that should be our goal. That should be our aim as Christians. Healthy souls, healthy witnesses, a strong faith. He gives us three things that model, if you will, that character. First of all is walking in truth and love. Secondly, submitting to the apostolic authority, biblical teaching, biblical truth. And then number three, imitating godly characters. A person is not spiritually prosperous by what one can do in and of themselves. Because it is not what I am, but it is what he is, what Jesus is in me that leads to true prosperity. What was John the Baptist's line when he saw Jesus coming, when he baptized him? He said, let me recede, let me fall away so that he may ascend. My paraphrase. But you understand the teaching of that good Christian person. Let me get out of the limelight. It's not about me. It's about Jesus Christ and his place in the church. Diotrephes had a problem with that. So, John is very pleased, but he's also very upset. He's very upset with Diotrephes. He's pleased with Gaius and Demetrius. So given all this, how are we to look at this and apply it to us today? We've pulled it out. We've pulled the context. We understand that he's walking in the truth. John is commending him, and he brings out several points of what he sees Gaius doing that we should emulate. As I said, this is a very practical sermon today. First, the truly, soulfully prosperous person is the one who walks in the truth, conducts their life in truth and love, as we see in Gaius. Why has John hammered on truth so often? I should go back and count how many times I've said truth or true or something of that nature over these last weeks in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Why does he keep on hammering it so? Why do I mention it so every week? Walking in the truth, knowing the truth, the truth in this, etc. Well, first and foremost, as I've pointed out early in this sermon, there are errors finding their way into the church and being condoned by the leadership. I was talking to a dear lady as she came into church today about a church in our community where the pastor is leaning in a different direction than what the gospel points out, and he's doing it for his own gain. Errors, false teaching, bad motives are finding their way in our churches. And so that's why we hammer it so. But what gives us the motivation to do that other than the errors themselves? This was Jesus' message. This is Jesus' message. John says that Jesus was full of grace and truth. Jesus himself said, he who practices the truth comes into the light so that his deeds may be manifested or multiplied. See, here's prosperity of the ministry, not of person, of ministry. So truth is a huge emphasis in Jesus' ministry. It is in John's ministry. So it must be in ours as well. I can't preach a different gospel than Jesus has given. I can't preach a different gospel than John has given. Paul says, if I do that, I am to be condemned. Gaius prospered in his soul because he walked in the truth. Secondly, the prosperous person, soulfully prosperous person, submits to the apostolic authority. That means we follow the Bible. We follow what the apostles have given us. And this is in opposition to what Diotrephes is doing. And what we glean from this, Diotrephes is objectively rejecting what Paul is teaching in his letter. Rather than being that prosperous soul, Diotrephes is that rebellious person. And in his rebellion, he's standing against that which John is teaching. And Diotrephes has three negative characteristics. I'll just mention them to you briefly. I know no one in this church who has these three characteristics, but the poor Diotrephes. First of all, he likes to put himself first. And one author says this is the explanation for a majority of the church problems down through history. Man first. Our church leaders sometimes want to be the head, the first. Some want to be in charge. Some want to be noticed. Some want to be acknowledged as having a rightful purpose and place in the church. When it's not about you or me at all. For the Christian, we must remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, the first will be last, and the last will be first. Leaders in the church are to be sacrificial leaders, putting others before themselves. The second negative characteristic that Diotrephes is exhibiting is in verse 10. He says, talking wicked nonsense about the apostles. Read gossip. Read gossip and slander. In our denomination today, if one is found guilty of gossip or slander, that is a censurable offense. And so when we conduct business referring to each other in the court, how we talk about or to each other, we have to be very careful not to be slanderous, not to be gossipers. A, that's sin, but we can find ourselves in trouble with the denomination. But here Diotrephes is unjustly accusing John because, as I gleaned from this, Diotrephes, he wanted to be the authority. And he didn't want visitors coming in from somewhere else. Why did he not want visitors to come into his church from John's teaching? They possibly would stand against what he's teaching. They would call him out. So he would turn them away. More than that, he is turning away the people in the church that wanted to welcome these travelers. Gossip and slander. It is sin, it is sin, it is sin. Do you know that slander is one of the names for the devil? The slanderer. So when we slander, who are we emulating? Third characteristic we should avoid is abusing relationships. Diotrephes is abusing his position in the church. He's abusing the people. He's turning them out when they don't follow him. It's either my way or the highway. And so this Diotrephes is wrecking the church. So here we see Diotrephes. He wants to be first. He gossips and slanders, and he's abusing the relationships within the church. Now let's return to our positive in speaking of the spiritually, soulfully prosperous person. Thirdly, that person will imitate godly examples. Verses 11 and 12. Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God, and whoever does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. We also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. Again, John is addressing Gaius, telling him that Demetrius here is a good example. But more than that, he said, follow the good example, for that is of God. Following the bad example as Diotrephes, that is of Satan. We all need to follow and have godly examples within our church to follow. If I give you just a moment, I'm sure you could bring a couple of names to mind in our church fellowship. Also within other churches, other ministries, individuals who put forth a good reputation. One of the characteristics of a ruling elder in our denomination is that they are above reproach and have a good testimony within the community. And so here, following godly examples, we all need them. How do you know if you're following a godly example? How do you know that they are? Again, just some very practical hints here. Basically, look for the fruit of the Spirit. Just look for the fruit of the Spirit. Look at their work. Look at their lives. Listen to their words, both spoken and written. Facebook has its assets, but Facebook can get folks in trouble. Listen to their words. Watch their lives. Are they deeds that would be promoting to Jesus Christ, or are they worldly in their fashion? And then John mentions that the truth itself bears witness to Demetrius' good character. simply means he's walking in the truth of the gospel message. The truth bears witness to his character. I read in the Bible that this is what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to conduct ourselves. I see that in Demetrius. So he would be one I would follow as an example. Rather than being domineering and selfish and self-centered, Demetrius was a humble servant. He practiced biblical love. In all of this, he was following his Lord's example that probably John had taught him. So Demetrius here would be one of the saints we would follow. As I said, practical, do steps if you don't mind. But being empowered to do this means that the Holy Spirit is indeed there to empower us to do these things. True prosperity is to be rich with a healthy soul, being of good reproach, putting forth a good character, walking the talk, as we say. And the way to do this is to live in truth and love, submitting to the apostolic authority, imitating godly examples. And then I do pray that if someone wrote you a note or wrote you a card, a personal letter of some sort, you might hear the same words that Gaius hears from John. Beloved, I pray that all goes well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well in your soul. For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth. Prosperity of the soul only comes when the Holy Spirit comes and renews my soul with the love of God, and that is due to the completed work of Jesus Christ in us, turning away from the worldly influences and walking in the truth. Now, the prosperity gospel, the health and wealth gospel is not totally off base, just bad timing. Because there is a mansion waiting for you. There is perfect health waiting for you. It just ain't going to be here. So as I said, they're not far off. They're just, their timing's bad. Amen and amen.